forever.
Fucking dating and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love. Seek treatment if you just can't take a hint. Well, seek treatment with Kat
and Pat.
Hey!
It's Pat's friend Kat.
And Pat's friend Kat's friend Pat.
Sure. and we're back with Nomi Fry. And,
oh my God.
You know, we've talked a lot about your current life now, but we need to dive back. We need to dive back. We need to ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Nomi.
Yes.
Who were you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
Okay. Who I was.
Yes.
Let's start with the past.
Yes.
Let us look deep into the past.
Please.
Let us for once.
You know, probably a sensitive, searching, somewhat self-obsessed Jewess from the Holy Land.
Yeah, beautiful sentence.
How long did you live there?
Well, I was born there, and then I lived there. I did live in the States throughout my childhood and my teens, but off and on because my dad worked in the States.
Where did you live when you lived in the States?
In Seattle.
Oh, Grey's
Anatomy. My brother just moved there.
And Grey's Anatomy was there.
Yeah, is it okay?
Yes. I mean, I haven't lived there since like the 90s, but yeah.
If you could give me Rex from the 90s to pass along to him, that'd be kind of vintage.
Tell him to watch Real World Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the real, was that Kelly?
That was the slap.
He'll know.
That was David and what was her name? Oh my God, what was her name?
Pat has a special part of his brain that only has real
world names. Wait, I forget the woman who got slapped.
Yeah.
But do you know why she got slapped?
Why did she get slapped?
In canon, like, I forget why it was, but really it was because she outed that guy.
Oh.
She called him a faggot.
That isn't right.
But
and during World Pride, during
I'll say it here. And when it's going to be talked about later during World Pride. Wow, I'm really upset with myself that I can't think of her name.
Let's take a second.
I'm going to get fully.
Do you want to do a lap?
This is so crazy. This is the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
This is the craziest thing that's ever happened. You can't remember the girl who got slapped in Real World Seattle.
I can picture her.
Never heard anything like it.
Keep going.
Nomi's feverishly writing this down for a story.
But then I lived there until I was like 23, maybe? 24? In Israel, I mean. And then I decamped.
Oh, wait, so you moved from Seattle to back there.
Yeah. Seattle was just like a year here, a year there, summers. You know, my dad's job.
Totally. What did your dad do?
He's a scientist.
Okay. And what does your mom do?
She is a historian of science.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah, they're both academics. But they're both retired.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
Now, did you always want to live in NYC?
No, not necessarily. I knew when I was in Israel that I wanted to come back to America as an adult and live here on my own.
And you wanted to start a family.
But I didn't necessarily know where. And it ended up being New York.
Honey, if you're going to work for the New Yorker,
right,
you're going to want to be in New York. I'm going to recommend you swing over to New York.
Relocate.
Consider looking in New York for work.
There's a lot of opportunities for the New Yorker in New York.
So that's where I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a sensitive, searching, somewhat self-obsessed Jewess living in the Big Apple, baby.
Yes.
Bed-Stuy, Brooklarm.
Yes. And where am I going to be?
Take your time with who you are now. Like, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good overall, I think. I mean, I'm consistently nervous.
About what?
That's just my character. I'm a pretty, like, nervous person.
In the novel, it is this life.
I just got on Prozac.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is it the first antidepressant you've...
Well, I briefly was on one for an episode in college, but I could not come to save my life. And
so
I got off of it. I just got off of it. I panicked. Like, no one... I just panicked and got off of it. And then I haven't revisited it in, like, a decade. But now I'm 12 days into Prozac.
How are you doing?
So I can't really tell if it's helping or not.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I'm just
that's
tired.
Pretty early.
Yeah.
That's pretty early to tell.
It's supposed to help with body dysmorphia. It's supposed to help with lots of stuff. But but I'm just, like, giving it time.
Yeah.
I am really tired, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm always tired no matter what.
That's true. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing this joke. I just started last time doing this joke on stage where I'm like, I'm taking Prozac to help with body dysmorphia, and either Prozac doesn't work or my body looks like this.
That's pretty good. Wouldn't it be cool if I considered even writing one new joke for my life?
I did that at two shows last night. One time it hit, one time it didn't. It's kind of a thing where it's sensitive.
It's hit or miss.
It's hit or miss.
Oh, it's funny though.
I know.
I think it's funny.
It's okay. Gonna kill tonight.
I know, I'll do it tonight.
Finally, you know how low on the ground I have to get on my knees to beg Pat to do my weekly show?
That's not true. I want to
be my dear friend.
It's so funny. You know, I did two shows last night and I had fun at both of them, which is rare for me.
That's very rare. And there was like a 2 month stretch where you came every week to Club Coming, and that was sort of like,
I know.
December 2018 was actually one of the most fun times.
That was
of
a book. That was a book.
It was a coffee table book.
And the last chapter of the book was that week we recorded every single day leading up to Christmas. And Jabuki was our last final.
And it was so funny because, yeah, our last final that we aced it. And then I thought I was falling in love. And you actually were.
And I was falling
in love. And then I actually am alone now. But in a fun way that I'm actually sort of dealing with some things that maybe I wouldn't deal with.
But also, please set me up.
Also, absolutely set me up. I'm fun. I'm funky. I'm never here. I love
you'll never
fuck.
See me. You'll tell the guy.
You won't even know I'm here.
Yeah.
He'll always be fucking me, but he'll never have to see me.
Now, do you have a special someone?
I do, which is new. I never had dated anyone my whole life, really.
Okay.
And I met someone in December. And
is he also in comedy? Or?
Not really, kind of.
He's comma Jason.
He makes like videos and stuff, and he like wants to act and stuff.
Was it through an app?
No, it was at a going away party.
It was at Patty and Mitra's going away.
Do you know Patty and Mitra?
I know. I've never met them, but I know
so
who they are.
They went away and they had a going away party. And we met at their going away party, but for some reason, for upwards of 4 months, I had an actual mental disease where when anyone asked me how long we've been dating, I just said, since Patty and Mitra's going away. Like my uncles would be like, how do you know? I'd be like, since Patty and Mitra's going away. They're like, we don't know who those people are, you stupid bitch. But yeah, it's going really well. I never have been in a relationship, so it's lots of kind of like learning about myself, things that I didn't know about myself.
Learning new stuff about your body.
Learning stuff about my body.
When we started this pod, Pat was sex negative and now he's sex positive.
Kind of.
He's embracing his sexuality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I respect that.
I know. How do you navigate falling in love when you're trying to discover who you are? Okay, everyone's crying in the studio. Megan, stop sobbing. Megan's wailing.
Megan's on the phone with her mom.
Mom, she just said something that like really blew my M. okay, whatever. You're in love. I'm not. I'm happy for you. And I actually am doing a really good job of not being jealous.
I know you are.
Although I did see a photo. His boyfriend posted a photo of him the other day and I was like, cool, or is having a good time without me. I'm like, in my room alone. Like.
Do you guys hang out together? All together?
Yeah, totally.
We're going to go to a party as a football on Sunday.
Yeah, I like, we had like a fun meal.
I'm going through something where people keep it, I guess because it's only like 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep getting invited to weddings without plus one.
Right, because you're like the lonesome gay.
Yeah. I'm like branded that way.
But right. you're also in a new relationship.
Totally.
So
yeah.
Yours happens to be intense, but sometimes... Sometimes at the beginning, it's actually not intense to you because you don't really see them ever and they actually don't actually talk to you ever. And that's how you
sometimes
know it's love.
Sometimes that's how it is.
Yeah. And sometimes that's how you know it is love.
I'm navigating, like, I do really like my, like, I need for me to feel, like, energetic and be present in anything.
For you to be president?
For me to be president, like.
Welcome, new president of the United States of America.
That's my country.
I do need, like, alone time once in a while. So it's, like, I have to kind of navigate
that
sometimes.
Does he live close?
Pretty close. He lives in Bushwick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's really great.
Yeah, it is.
Things are looking up.
Things are going well for me.
So you're leaving the nannying.
I'm leaving.
Graduating to nannying. And then what happens then for money?
I don't know. So like this podcast just started making some money, which is nice, and that will help.
Cha-ching.
And then I've booked a few things like in the last couple months that because I've been nannying, I've been able to like save it. So mm-hmm. like. So I have enough where, like, I can just do the summer. And I just, I have enough right now where I can do the summer and see, like, if I'm hemorrhaging money, I can go back to a different day job. Even if I do something else, it just can't be nannying.
Right.
Especially because, like, as opportunities come, it's like, if I accepted this, I would fuck over this whole family.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no flexibility. And, like, the way the biz works, it's like, okay, can you be in LA in 1 week? And it's like, not
really.
How
about really. In 1 hour?
Yeah, how about 1 hour?
People need to calm down.
People need to calm down. Like, I'll get there when I get there.
So you were summoned to LA last week.
I was.
How was it?
It was great. I love going there.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think I told you.
I can never, well, I can never tell if you're being serious.
No, I'm so serious.
Okay.
I am in love.
You love LA. You love Milan.
I love Milan.
Tell me the places you love.
I love the H&M in Milan.
I've heard really great things about H&M in Milan.
I'm walking in their show.
Sort of gender fucked moment. Now, where do you love and where do you hate?
You mean
in towns?
Towns? I'll tell you what I don't like.
Okay.
I don't like San Francisco.
I was just there. It's horrible.
I like San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never lived there.
I went there twice last summer.
But I have a good friend who lives there. And so she got married, had a baby, had another baby. You know, I've been there several times. And then I went for work. February. So, you know, I'm kind of a globetrotter.
Totally.
What? And, your family.
And,
what don't you like about it? Hills.
It's like, no, it's like.
She hates hills.
I don't like, I feel it seems like relatively culturalist for me, for a city that's, you know, holds such a place in like the public imagination. Like, it's not like some nothing
town.
It's like San Francisco. But then what you get is like, either like billionaire tech people or their minions who want to be billionaires, you know, and they're dressed really bad and they're like boring. Or you have like literal like 19th century like beggars in the street, like asking for alms. You know, it's like crazy. It's like Victorian England. It's like, you know, the polarity, like the inequality is just like stark and it's really depressing and enraging. So it's beautiful, like landscape wise, it's like, but I'm
lots
not interested in it.
Lots of green space.
Is there?
No, I didn't see any.
That
green
was
space.
My experience.
I was in the same building for 3 days.
Presidio, Golden Gate.
No, it's like beautiful, of course. Yeah. And it's like, it's very striking. Like the fact that it's like very hilly and, you know, there's water and it's just like not, it's just, I
it's
guess.
It's not your vibe.
It's just not my vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not sporty. Like, I'm not interested in the body.
Like, I'm not interested in the human body.
So you know. So it's like, it's just not my vibe.
Totally. San Francisco to me, it's like, it's Patagonia vests. It's I played lacrosse in high school.
Yeah.
And now I have a computer.
Right.
And it's really fancy.
Yeah.
Or is that interesting to you?
Yeah. It's like, no, that's not,
no.
No.
I'm like, I want to be like wrapped in silk, like near a boat, holding wine, crying, but with a book in my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Staircase?
No.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
Wait, anyway, do you think Adnan did it?
I've never watched it.
Do you think Adnan did it? We ask all our guests.
That's a new segment.
Do you think Adnan did it?
Yes, he did. I've never watched it. I don't know.
Yeah,
is it that thing where he like kills his wife or something?
Oh, no, that's The Staircase. No, so two different things. So
oh, sorry.
The Staircase is that, but do you believe in owl theory?
Do you believe in Adnan?
I don't know what that is.
Owl theory is that an owl killed a woman. And also, but Adnan is serial. And no one's talking about it anymore, but we do in 2019.
The podcast, 2015.
I never listened to that.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I mean, I remember when everyone talked about it, but I never listened to it.
We like to be a few years behind the curve.
Yeah.
So if you have any friends you can set me up with who know whether or not Adnan did it.
If someone knew if Adnan did it, I would marry them.
Totally, 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 totally. So San Francisco, anywhere else you're like, don't stick, keep me away with a stick. What's it called?
Keep me away with a stick.
I mean, I can't. I do. Like, what do I feel like? Well, can I say places I like?
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh my God, we're
know
positive.
Me.
Yeah,
we're
me.
Positive queens.
You know us, we're posy queens.
We put only posy out in the energy universe.
Well, I love Los Angeles. I love Tel Aviv, which is where I'm from Haifa, but I lived in Tel Aviv for a few years before coming here. And almost all my family is there. My husband's family, or also my family. So I go there like once a year. Or sometimes twice, but usually once.
Beautiful.
And I love it. And what else do I like? Recently, I went to Austin, and it was nice for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I want to go to Portland.
Oh, I like Portland.
I want to go.
When I go to Austin, I'm like, yeah, but have you seen Brooklyn? It's the same.
Yeah. It's just nice to be outside of. And the weather is different. And the
Absolutely.
Flora.
Oh, I shouldn't have said anything. Okay, egg on my face.
Wait, Nomi, how did you meet your husband?
We met in Tel Aviv.
I know.
And
we know.
And how did we meet? He was just like, he's older than me. He's 9 years older than me.
Perfect.
But he was and is, but at the time already was, an artist. And my ex-boyfriend was also an artist.
At that time, you're current? He at that time your current?
No. I mean, we had broken up.
You were broken up. Okay. So you were current.
But I sort of knew Ahad from that. Basically, I was familiar with that circle.
You were an artist chick.
You're a free agent.
Yeah.
I was a free agent. And then we just, started out as friends.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
And the rest just happened naturally.
Really naturally.
Yeah.
Interesting take. I shouldn't force people to love me.
A natural woman. Oh, believe me. I'm also, naturally. But does anything ever really happen naturally?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm these boys. I'm having to be like, hello.
This city is very difficult, it seems, from what I hear.
I'm amazing, and guys don't seem to know that enough.
But I feel like you've had a long term boyfriend.
I know, it's never enough.
And you've dated.
I know,
successfully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's hope. There's life in me yet.
And you're also like 19. So
thank you for noticing that I'm 19. Yeah. That mine am 19.
So I think really there's a lot of to look forward to.
Now to ask you this.
Yes.
Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
What are your dreams?
Be?
Yeah, what are your dreams for your life?
I just don't want to backslide. I feel like I am constantly fearful that what I've achieved will be taken away from me.
Yeah.
By the cruel hand either of fate or just the zeitgeist.
But you're so beloved universally.
I'm just afraid. That's what I said when I said I was a nervous person. You know, it's not necessarily based on anything. It's
I understand.
Just like my sense of like, I'm going to stop doing well, you know, and then all the stuff that I really wanted and worked towards and spun my wheels like a crazy person trying to get will sort of just disappear. But I hope that's not true. But that's a constant fear. So first of all, I would like to retain. I guess is my point.
I would like to retain
my position and never let it go. I'm gonna tear into it like a dog with one of those dirty toys.
Pizza box.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And the next thing is probably, Ohad, my husband, always says to me, why do you even need this? But I'm like, I should also write for TV, you know?
Totally.
Because it might be fun and I can make money, which I don't probably, I mean, I make fine money. I'm no shade to my job that keeps me together and my family. But just it would be
nobody's
nice.
Nobody's on strike.
I'm on strike. But it just would be nice, in that sense as well.
Totally,
and
totally.
But I'm also a little intimidated by it because what if it turns out, the thing that I do right now, the type of writing that I do right now, even though I'm a very insecure person, I've been doing it long enough that I sort of, I know that I kind of know how
totally.
To do it.
It's a totally different, what it feels like when it's going to be good.
Whereas
when you do something new, even if it's the same kind of vein, it's like, it's like, I do stand up a lot, but then I just tried to do this show that was essays. And I was like, when I think of a funny joke, I know how that will sound on stage. I know if it will be good and get laughs. Whereas this new thing, I don't know what a good one really looks like for me. So it's like you're writing this in a vacuum and you're like, I have no idea the quality of what I'm doing.
Exactly. So so I'm a little bit concerned about that, but it's still kind of something I want to try my hand
at.
Oh,
hell yeah. You're totally. Smarter than anyone who writes for TV.
Aww.
It's true. Everyone writes,
but there's a lot of really smart people.
Absolutely.
Funny people.
But they're also, shocked at the numbers of people who you're them? And I say that with love.
So how do people get in? How do they get into the business?
It seems like TV writing, it seems like oftentimes people, if you're young and starting out, maybe you'll be an assistant on a show and then you'll just become a writer. And then once you get one job, you get a million jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, I feel like someone would just hire you for a specific room based on your tastes and your style.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have lots of agents and meetings and people
doing
that for you.
Right. I mean, I'm at a point where
It you could use, if you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but probably I could just like, I should just write a pilot. You know what I mean?
I mean,
but
famous
I don't think you even
words.
Need to do that. Like, what kind of show, what would be your dream show to write for?
I don't even, because I've never been in a room, you
Me
know,
either.
And I, have you, Pat?
No, I never.
No, we actually, we're the people who actually don't know what we're talking about.
Which I'm sitting here like,
yeah, here we go,
giving this very successful
it.
Woman like career
I
advice.
Know,
it's like the saddest thing that's ever happened in
Brooklyn,
New York.
I know, I'm like telling you how to do
But it's in a field that I really don't know much
yeah,
about.
I don't
so,
know.
I don't, we don't know anything about but it. And I'm like, let me tell you how it works.
It does strike me.
I'm just speaking from watching my friends.
From watching my friends, it does seem that like if you have success in other writing avenues, like mm-hmm. there are opportunities where people will be like, do you want to write for my show?
Right.
And then I do think it's that kind of thing where when you get in one, you get in a million. But
right.
I don't know.
Ones.
I don't know.
Do you? Would you guys want to do it?
Yes, absolutely. I've been trying to do that. For like the last year, I've been like really like let's get in a room.
So how do you write your own stuff and then like
right now a lot of, like I've gotten a couple meetings and then not gotten the job mm-hmm. and to those people I wish them well and I hope that their finished product turns out amazing. And I think it just wasn't the right fit. And
I literally said that yesterday. I was doing like a reading with my friend Lauren had her first novel come out and it was like her. Like we did in a bookstore, I like interviewed her.
Oh my God, that's my dream.
You could do it.
Oh my God. To have you interview me in a bookstore.
Oh my God, please, anytime.
Oh my God.
But yeah, but anyway, I literally said that people who have spurned me, I wish them well.
Absolutely. On the record, anyone who's broken up with me, I hope you are 30, flirty, and thriving.
I am. But I think it's kind of thing where it's like, you'll get attention for whatever, like, I'll get attention for my stand up and mm-hmm. then, like, have gotten meetings that way, but then it's like I have a pilot I've been kind of perennially working on, but mm-hmm. I'm not like in love with it yet to like send it as a sample.
Right.
So but then there's like other like I've sent in essays and stuff mm-hmm. or like video stuff. But mm-hmm. I mean you I'm sure have so much writing you could send.
Yeah, writing.
I don't think formatting is.
Yeah, of a certain sort for sure. Yeah, not like screenplays.
But I think, yeah, I think it is smart to have a pilot, but.
Yeah, I mean, I should just, the problem is that probably, as you guys know, it's like you're busy doing one
totally,
thing.
Exactly.
And then it's hard to find the time to do the other thing.
That's what
it's
I
impossible.
Feel like right now.
You make it so hard.
I get like a little far in one direction, then I'm pulled in another, then I'm pulled. And I can only really work on one thing at a time or my brain gets too scattered.
Yeah.
What do you have planned for the summer? Are you going anywhere fun? What are
we
you up to?
We are, let's see. We're going to go to Miami in August, actually.
Sexy.
Yeah, just like a,
oh, that's
you know,
fun.
With
are you gonna
with
stay
a
in the
fam.
Are you going to stay in the house that the New York wives stayed in?
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, but we're going to stay in a hotel. And
nice.
I think it'll be nice.
Being in a hotel is one of the chicest things in the world.
I know, and it doesn't really happen anymore, right?
Yeah.
Or it
it's
doesn't
an
happen
Airbnb
that often.
This home sharing.
Yeah.
Get out.
It's the home sharing economy.
I know.
So we're going to do that. That's in August. Nina has camp.
Oh,
I just am like working. You
is
know?
She going to sleepaway?
No, it's like a day camp.
The kid I nanny for is going to 8 weeks sleepaway. Isn't
8 weeks?
That's traumatic. That'll really fuck
and
them up.
And they're 8?
They're 8.
That's really young, isn't it?
Yeah.
8 weeks?
8 weeks.
8 weeks isn't right.
I know.
Is it like a wealthy family? Or like just
absolutely.
They're
if you live in Manhattan, you're well.
Yeah, they do well. I don't think they're like old New York money, but but they like do well.
And they and it's the first time the kid is going to sleep away.
Poor baby.
Yeah. He'll like it. It'll be good for him.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah.
But I think that he is if I could take him to a field where there's other kids and he would not want to leave that field for 6.
He's social.
If he
like,
stayed out there for 6 hours playing soccer with kids he'd never met in his life and I was like, okay, it's time to leave. He'd be like 5 more minutes. And then at 5 more minutes, he'd be like, please 2 more minutes. Like he just always wants to be doing that.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's a good
but it is it's a very long time to be away.
That's crazy.
No, I feel like we have to ask you.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
What's going on with John Mayer?
Yes, I knew it. I was waiting for this.
So explain the backstory for our listeners.
Okay, I'll explain the backstory to Pat because you and to the listeners.
Yeah.
Totally. So then I'm the listeners.
Yes. So basically Pat. And for the past, I want to say 3 years or so, I have been mounting a campaign. A very public, very embarrassing, thirsty campaign. I would call it like my one attempt at performance art ever. Uh-huh. It's sort of what it turned out. It started organically. It wasn't like thought out. But basically, I was like, okay, like, John Mayer, you know you want to follow me back on Twitter. Like, why are you not following me? And it just, like, you know, I would leave it for months at a time, but then I would come back and, like, tweet at him. We had some, like, mutuals, so it wasn't, like, totally, like, I was, like, and obviously I'm, like, I used to work at the Times, and then I moved to the New Yorker, so it's not, like, a total, like, clearly totally. I'm not, like, totally insane, yeah, and I'm not, like, a fan, really.
Yeah.
You know? But it was just, like, a thing, and,
Do you like John Mayer?
Yeah, I like him. Like, enough. He was really, he was, like, really funny on, you know, we had a few points of meeting. We were both, like, older gentlemen who enjoyed streetwear on different levels. And also, he's, like, you know, he is a bit of an aficionado of the comedy community.
Oh, is he?
He's, like, funny and whatever. And so it started on Twitter. I would tweet at him, like, I would beg. And I made, like, every podcast I was on, I would mention it, and I would be, like, really thirsty. And then he ultimately, I feel like this was a year and a half ago, he broke, like, a twig and finally followed back.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful moment, and I made a huge deal of it. And
that's huge.
Yeah, it was huge for me.
Totally.
And for anyone.
And for him.
But then, so this was maybe, like, November of 2017. And then he quit Twitter.
No.
In January, like, the first of the year. I guess he had made a decision. I mean, he still has an account, but he stopped tweeting.
John Mayer makes a decision.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with you.
So it's not your fault.
He just couldn't take the content. You know, it was just too much for him. So then it was, like, really tragic. And I was like, wow, I worked so hard. This was, like, years in the making. And now, after a couple months, it's all gone. So then the campaign began to get that Instagram.
Yes.
Okay. So then that was years, or, like, a year. And I, again, so, like, I don't even know, because it's harder with Instagram, right?
Totally.
Because, like, there's,
you can't just
it's
tweet.
A filtering, yeah. Like, you can tweet, but especially when it's a big celebrity that has a trillion followers, it gets lost in the shuffle.
So are you DMing him? Commenting on his post?
I don't think, I think I was commenting. I think I was, like, I think, again, I was mentioning it on podcasts. I'm trying to remember how it worked exactly. Oh, at one point, I was doing a story for the New Yorker website about online ceramics, who do his t-shirts for his, for the dad shows he does and for his own shows. And I, like, talked to him on the phone for a quote, and we both pretended that we didn't, like, there was just one moment. I was totally professional, but there was just, like, one moment where we acknowledged that I'm the crazy woman who has been stalking him for years.
So yeah, what did he say?
But it was good natured. No, he was like, he was asked me if I remembered something that he tweeted at me.
No.
And I was like, John, I remember.
Oh my God.
And did he follow you on Instagram?
Well, so it was, again, an uphill battle, follow back John Mayer, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, I don't remember what it was. I feel like it was maybe January or February. Isn't it crazy that I don't remember? Maybe, like, I drunkenly emailed him or something.
I
swear that I don't remember. Like, it's but I must have done something shameless when I was somewhat tipsy. And then he followed me back on Instagram.
Oh my God.
And it was, like, a huge deal. We did it, fam, you know, like, the whole thing. So since then we've been like the best of friends. But we'd never met.
Uh-huh. But you were Instagram messaging?
We were Instagram messaging.
About what?
Just, like, shooting the shit. You know? And then I went to the Andy show on Monday.
Right.
And he was a surprise guest.
No.
But when will this air?
2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I think it's embargoed until tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
No,
anyway, they just told us not to take pictures.
I see.
Anyway, and so then when I saw that he was a surprise guest, and I went with the online ceramics guys who'd become my friends. And then afterwards we went to dinner. But then I was like, when he was, like, on stage, so to speak, I was like, oh my God, I'm, like, in the audience. And then when I was at dinner with the online ceramics guys, he DM'd and he was like, where are you guys? And then
I'm obsessed.
And then he, like, came and we had, like, a drink. Like,
Oh my God.
So where were you guys?
That's the story. We were at the Venerable Ear Inn because it's right next to the Andy Studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so fun. What was he like?
Just as you would imagine.
Hunky as fuck.
I mean, he's hunky for sure.
Was he kind?
Yeah, he's totally nice.
Oh.
Like, he's totally nice.
I love him. Funny?
That's just satisfying.
Yeah, he's funny.
That's just satisfying ending.
What's he up to?
I think a lot of stuff. He is currently on tour with the Dead.
Because,
you know, he's like Hot Jerry. He's like, you know, the Jerry Garcia role.
Oh.
And then I think he has a tour of his own.
I love him.
And yeah, I think that's a lot to keep him busy. I don't know exactly.
What an amazing story.
Isn't it inspirational?
Truly.
Well, I wonder why John Mayer at the beginning?
There's just something about him.
Mm-hmm.
But should we do Crush of the Week?
Yeah, we have to begin to wrap. And that's a perfect sort of final gorgeous story. Do you guys have a crush of the week? I mean, maybe yours is John Mayer. Maybe it's another celeb. Anyone you've been thinking about, obsessing over? It could be a thing, an idea. It doesn't have to be a person.
Okay, let's see.
Crush of the week.
What? You guys go first.
Do you have one?
You go first.
I don't know.
Oh, are we crushless? No, I know my crush of a couple of weeks ago was Keanu because I wrote about Keanu and I was like, yeah. And I guess I could still have him as crush of the week.
Oh, if you haven't said it on this podcast, then you can still say it on this podcast.
Absolutely. Forever crush.
What was I doing?
Me too.
Where have I been?
You know, I talked to these three really great gals after my show last night at the Shanti in Brooklyn, and they were so supportive of our work on the podcast. And
oh my God.
Sorry. Naomi, I'm sorry.
Cover.
Sometimes when people come up when you're on your way out, it's really annoying. But then sometimes I feel like I talk about that too much. And so sometimes people come up with this really tentative attitude of like, hey, I know you hate when people like talk to you. I'm like, no.
I love it.
Oh my God, I love it. Are you kidding me?
I know. I'm like, talk to me.
Sometimes just come and say you love me.
Sometimes I'm inside my own head. But I thought they were really great. I forget their names, but they were amazing. And I celebrate.
I have
trio
one
of girls,
too.
You know who they were. One blonde and two brunettes.
Now I know because I ran
Maybe
into a
Edie
fan
their names.
On the street yesterday. And she was like, I was just listening to the podcast in Union Square. And she said, hi. And she's like, I love you. And I was like, I love you. And she's my crush of the week. And I feel like she posted about it. I'm trying to find it on Insta. Somewhere in my damn DMs.
Oh,
I don't know her name,
gosh.
But she was really sweet. And when I say that, when a fan comes up to me and says hi and I say it makes my day, I really mean it. It makes my day.
When I say it makes my day, then really it also really means it.
Yeah.
But I don't always say it.
But it's the girl who was by the Sephora in Union Square who grabbed my shoulder and said hi.
Aww.
You're my crush of the week. Do you have, Keanu? Yeah, I did it.
And my crush of the week is also kind of Mario from Housewives of New York.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think that's great.
Cool.
Now it's time for our final segment. No, sorry. Do we feel, next segment. Did I undo it? No. Next segment. Do you feel hot today?
Oh my God.
I know.
I think relatively to me, probably yes.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much.
We don't like that.
I'm sorry. Like that. No, I know. But I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a style icon.
Okay. I'm a style icon. Yeah. I feel, with my Milan H&M.
Thank you.
Yeah. Men's swim trunks.
I'm getting those.
Yeah.
How would you describe your style in a few words? And like, what makes you tick and what makes you want to wear something or make something your thing?
It's probably like the opposite of like trying too hard.
You want to be as casual as possible?
Yeah, but it's casual. Like, yeah, I want to like my husband always says that he's like that I dress conceptually. And by that, he doesn't mean that like I wear like conceptual like Japanese desires from the designers desires. From the 80s. He means that it's like, the joke is important to me more than like how the clothes fit or something.
Yes.
So that's another thing,
I guess. The streetwear.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a funny concept that I have of what I should look like that doesn't necessarily fit my life or my...
I love it.
Yeah.
You're subverting the idea of what your lifestyle
generals.
Is. Totally subverting generals. Do you feel that today? Quickly. I know you have to go.
I know. I feel... No, not hot today.
You look really hot and tan.
My hair is like doing.
Do you know?
Can I tell you something?
I had my college boyfriend, who I'm still forever in love with, who told me not to contact him. He had a plaid shirt just like that, and when I see that plaid, I feel like I'm gonna have good sex.
I did receive the shirt at Topshop, and it was the
receive.
It was the only shirt.
They're handing them out.
It was the only shirt in the entire store that didn't make me look like an absolute psycho freak with like the most insane proportions you could even think up.
Topshop is music festival, but make it like from expensive and sad.
I'm gonna make a horror
in
movie.
The comfort of
yeah, and feel bad.
Scratchy.
I'm waiting for a horror movie where the promo is from the twisted minds who brought you Pat Regan's proportions.
So good.
I've been running shirtless kind of a lot.
Oh, hot.
What? I know, but it helps me with my tan.
And should I run topless with my tooties fluting? Ow! I punched my breasts.
So I don't know.
Wait, but that's inspirational. You're saying that you have like body dysmorphia issues and stuff, totally. And yet you run
that
shirtless.
That's kind of new. And
that's pretty great.
My goal in life is to work on a sports bra and not kill myself.
Well, like, having the tan as inspiration does help. But
I'm scared of tan because of pants.
I'm not scared of artificial sweetener, and I'm not scared of tan.
I already know that I have cancer.
But I've also made it to my 30s without ever once being in the sun. So I'm like, I have such a head start. Like,
oh yeah, right. Pat's favorite thing is to be like own. That. I must feel guilty for tan because I tanned a lot in high school. And Pat was like, do you feel guilty about that?
No, I've never said that in my life.
One time you did. Okay. And it was a formative time.
I said, do you feel guilty?
I told this cry I have a crush on that I was going to be formative for him, and he was like, okay.
He was like,
he's like, get me out of this jail cell. Metaphorical. Do I feel hot today? Randomly, yes, even though my hair is curly, and usually I feel like not really proud of that. Like, usually I have a hard time with my curly hair, but it actually looks kind of good. It's not too humid. And our final segment, Pat, are you mad at me?
Absolutely not. I miss you. We don't spend enough time together. I know you like.
Wait, no.
I think you're mad at me.
We had a good phone call yesterday where I was like, it's no one's fault. We were like, it was like we were long distance lovers who were just like, but like long term partners, and we were like, no, it wasn't like that. What was it like? It was just like we'll get through this rough patch.
Yeah. Well, after tomorrow, I'll have more time.
I know.
I'm very excited about that.
No, are you mad at me?
No.
Okay.
How could I be?
I don't know. People find a way.
No, I know.
Are you mad at me?
Never.
Oh, really?
Never.
Are you serious?
I'm totally
I'm so pleased
serious.
To have met you.
I know, me too. I feel like this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I strangle her. okay.
Ask me.
Catherine, are you mad at me?
No. I'm happy. And yesterday I texted you, I'm lonely, sad. You called me and you insisted on calling me again even when I didn't respond to your text.
I know.
And I needed you to say, I'm here. Now you ask us. And you go.
And ask
okay.
me first.
Are you mad at me, Pat?
Nomi, absolutely not. It's been such a joy and a treasure to kind of unpack who is Nomi Fry.
Oh, my God.
And
okay.
I feel like I finally know you. And I'm so glad to have a new Bravo partner in life.
I know. Oh, my God. Someone should talk about.
Yes.
Catherine.
Yeah.
Are you mad at me?
Couldn't never be mad at you. I you are a cultural icon. You make me laugh every day in, day out on Instagram, Twitter. So funny. So brilliant. We're so happy to have you on the pod. I know the word iconic is overused, but Nomi, you're iconic.
Oh, my God.
Okay, live, laugh, love you. Thank you guys so much. Forever Dog.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com. And subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.